Welcome, welcome, welcome to the PNR Podcast. I am your host, the knuckle-pucking, DQ out of your skates podcaster, Michael B. Proud, and today we'll be covering the Professional Hockey Cup Championship. Now, I would call it by the other name, but I don't really know the legality of that. I don't want to get my ass sued, can't afford it, so we're just going to call it that, and we're going to add a year to the title when this goes up on Anchor and Spotify and all those other lovely distributors of mine. But yeah, that's what we'll be covering today. Now, I've been away for a minute. I want to address the rumors, if any. Not dead. Let's see, not in jail. Not being waterboarded by the NSA somewhere. What's all the other things that could be possible? Not on vacation, because that's going to be coming up in a couple weeks. So, yeah, pretty much just any of the rumors, if there are any, because I don't think I'm famous enough to warrant any rumors yet. But any rumors, you know, just doubt them. I'm still here, still alive, still going to be doing this thing. It's pretty quite simple. Like I said, I'm not a big on excuses. I'm not that kind of guy. I feel like the effective maximum range of an excuse is 0 meters. But, you know, there was a power outage here one night, didn't record. There was just a lot of days where it was too hot, a lot of days where I preferred to sleep. And, you know, that said, I've been pretty villainous, at least to my audience, which I don't mean to be. I don't want to be that guy. But, you know, just these things happen, and then it's like, oh, shit, I'm already like 2 weeks behind on an episode, and I at least did get something done. I recorded the episode of Murph Dog, but that's going to take so much fucking editing, it's going to be outrageous, because there's just a lot of things that I said on the episode with him, and, you know, now I have to go back and be like, well, I need to omit this, because, you know, this thing was said, and that thing was said, and it's not like despicable stuff on my part so much, or even him, but I looked back at some of the things we talked about, and like one of them, for instance, is I could out somebody when I don't want to do that, and I drag somebody's mom into something when I don't want to be that guy, and there's just there's all sorts of little, you know, little things that I have to go back and be like, well, that, you know, that needs to be. So this is, like, long story short, this is going to be a long-ass episode to edit, the one with Murph Dog that I just finished. And, you know, that's kind of been the problem, you know, as of late with the podcast, is I want to get all these special guests in, but editing those episodes takes, you know, a darn long amount of time. So with that said, you know, I'm going to be spending all that the time editing that episode, and it's just, it's been difficult as of late, but I still want to get these out to you weekly. I still want to get special guests in. I still want to do all the things I've ever wanted to do from, you know, the fucking drop-off with this thing. So, you know, it's just sometimes these things are going to happen, though, where it's either a billion degrees where I record, or there's a power outage because everybody's sucking the power, or I need to catch up on my sleep, or, you know, I have, like I said, long-ass episodes to edit. So I'm going to try to edit the Murph Dog episode sometime this week. I want to record the basketball episode this week, get that out as fast as I can, because I want to be a preview, unlike this one that was supposed to be a preview. So, you know, I'm like fucking Stretch Armstrong during the fucking dark ages, because they got my hand going each way on a different horse, but I'm not going to get pulled apart, because this is what I want to fucking do. So it's, you know, it's going to happen. But, you know, with that out of the way, though, like I said, this is the cup one. We're going to do basketball. We're going to get the Murph Dog literature one out. There's just, you know, bear with me. That's all I can ask you guys. If I get, what are we at now? I could have maybe 48 out of the 52 weeks or so. I don't know what I'm at right now, but just please bear with me. That's still a damn good amount. Even if it's a little less, please just give your boy a little break here. You know, we always do the social media stuff before we go into the meat of an episode. So, Facebook, as always, Polrel PCast. P-O-L-R-E-L. Last name P-C-A-S-T. You find me in front of Turtle Boy in the picture. And same goes for Twitter. That's, well, the handle's different, but the picture's the same. That's the @ and then the PNR podcast. And then on Patreon, the space P space ampersand space R space podcast. So, those are the social media outlets you can find me on. Oh, and I forgot to throw a 25 out at the beginning. This is number 25. A Trey O'Leary amount of episodes. Sort of a little milestone. I'd throw a clap out there. Maybe I'll look for some effects on the other side of the recording. But, yeah, we're at 25. That's probably a lot better than, you know, Polly and some other folks might have pegged me at. They made me what I thought, you know, I would have won a Ted Williams amount and then fucking called it a wrap. That's not this guy. I'm going to go on for fucking forever. They're going to put the microphone in my grave, and I'm still going to be recording this, so. You can't even pry it from my dead cold hands, apparently. But, you know, let's get this episode underway. Let's start this thing. All right, so the way I'm going to break this sucker down is we're going to talk forwards, and then I'm going to say who has the edge. And then we're going to talk defensemen, say who has the edge. And then we'll probably do a mid-roll ad, because that's what we do here. And then we're going to talk goaltenders. And then we're going to talk about the Conn Smythe trophy winner. Because, you know, that's what everybody's... No one gives a fuck who's going to win the cup. They care about who wins the Conn Smythe, am I right? Nah, we're going to cover both. For all you fucking gamblers out there. See, this is why I wanted to even get this out as a preview, though. So you could be like, oh, damn, you won me like a fucking grand. Here's like $100, bro. I'd be like, oh, okay, shit, fucking Venmo all that, man. So... yeah, like I'm fucking lucky enough to have that happen to me. But no, seriously, I don't know. It just would have been, because I'm kind of going to be right on this. You just have to trust me. Like all these stats I'm going to give you and whatnot are like, I think they're accurate to before the game started. And even my predictions, you just have to trust me. Like this is the shit I came up with like a week ago when I was going to make this a preview episode. I swear on my life, like this is genuine to A, before the playoffs started, and B, like my actual prediction before any of these games started. So it's also like I didn't really want to watch any of this till I got this episode out. And you know, I fucking hate both of these teams. Let's be honest about it. And yeah, like I hate the Bolts. I hate the Les Habitants. But so that's why I didn't really even want to watch like any of the Cup Championship. If it would have been like the, like I said, I'm going to watch trademarks. If it would have been the Bears and the fucking snow coming down the mountain, yeah, I would have watched both of those teams because I thought, even at the beginning of the playoffs, I was like, these are the two teams that are gonna play each other. You watch. And those teams, the Archipelago team, I don't know how they fucking pulled it off, but they did. And then I knew they would lose to the Bolts, though, once that matchup, you know, got, like, penciled in. And then I was looking at the West, and I'm like, holy shit, that snow coming down the mountain team. I don't know how they didn't fucking go on. But then, you know, it was the Farmers from fucking Montreal versus the Army mascot. Like I said, I'm trying to really sidestep how this goes. So that Army, one of the Army mascots versus the Farmers, I can't believe the Farmers fucking walked away with it, but they did, and they're a scrappy little fighting team, though. I'm not surprised, because when they did it against the Tree team from Toronto, I was like, oh, that team always fucking chokes, no surprise there. But then when they started doing well against other teams, I was like, well, shit, I didn't expect any of this. So, you know, that's like pretty much the story to it, though. I hate both of these fucking teams that are there. I hate one team way more than the other team because I look at them as like the fucking New York of professional hockey. I think you know who I'm talking about. It's one of those fucking teams where they're like, well, look at what we achieved like a million years ago. Okay, you fucking, is that what you sleep with that night? Like, if that's when you need to, you know, hug to get by, like, fucking good for you or whatever. But, so yeah, that's that team. And then this other team's just been a pain in my ass from time to time, and they think they're hot shit, so I fucking hate this team. This team was a joke for forever. They only get people in the seats when they're winning. When they're fucking sucking the big one, no one goes to that stadium. So, I fucking hate asshole fans like that. Their coolest fan is Hulk Hogan, because I think he went to games, you know, when they won the championship like 10 years ago, and he was fucking going there and like ripping the shirt off and being like, oh, fuck yeah, or whatever, and doing the whole thing where he puts the hand to the ear, and he was doing all that shit. So, you know, fucking props to Hulk Hogan for being like their super fan or whatever. He's, you know, I have no problems with Hogan, but, you know, just the rest of the fan base they suck, though, because they don't fucking show up to their games. They're not like Detroit. They're not like, you know, that team with a black bird in Chicago. They're not like the Bear team from Boston. They're not like the team from Detroit. Did I already mention them? They're not like all the other, you know, as much as I hate some of the Hobby Tons, as much as I hate them, their fans show up to shit. So it's like all the fans north of the border, they show up for their teams, even if they're bad. There's a lot of fan bases like that. It's just that team in Tampa Bay isn't one of them, so, you know, fuck that. So I hate both of these teams. Didn't want to watch. Decided I will watch a deciding game. You know, so with that said, there was a deciding game tonight. I still didn't watch. I don't give a fuck about this cup, but this is something I want to do yearly. I want to cover the cup yearly because normally I do care about this cup. Normally I'll watch both teams even if I don't have a horse in the race anymore. So, you know, with that said, this is just a shit cup this year, though, and I don't give a fuck. I don't care who wins. It doesn't matter to me. And, you know, I've even found reasons to watch in the past because another team that I hate, like the I at least love Alex Ovechkin, so I was happy for him when he won. I was like, okay, don't really give a fuck about Washington. Don't want them to win the cup. But good for Ovechkin. I like Alex Ovechkin. I'm glad he won a cup. I'm sick of the fucking and damn thing. So, I mean, those South Pole Antarctic birds. So, this is going to be a struggle. I'm going to have to go back and bleep that shit out. Like I said, I don't even know the rules. I could be in the clear. I could use the trademark as the cup stands. I could use it for the teams. I could use it for the league. I don't know, though. I don't know. I need a lawyer that listens to this to reach out to me and say, pro bono, Mike Proud, I got you. You don't have to worry about it. You can use their names. You're not making money specifically off the name. Blah, 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 fair use, blah, 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 legalese, whatever. Like, I don't know if I'm in the clear, so I got to be extremely careful, surgical. So, with that said, though, I'll go back and bleep out that bird team later. And, yeah, that's it, though. I didn't watch tonight. I didn't watch game four. I don't give a fuck about this cup, and it's just the way it is. But why you're listening to this episode is because I normally do. I love hockey. Like I said earlier, the knuckle-pucking, deke you out of your motherfucking skates podcaster. Damn true. So, with that said, oh, and I'll slash it when the ref isn't looking. I'll be hitting that circle button all night. Isn't that right, Polly? I've broken some hands. But seriously, like, I love hockey. I'm a New Englander. Go fucking figure, right? Everybody in New England loves hockey. We may not all root for the same team. I remember going to visit my cousin in New Hampshire, and motherfucker had a, not my cousin, but his friend, he had a Patrick Roy jersey on. So like I said, we may not all root for the same team, but we all love hockey in New England. But what the, I would have been fine with him wearing a Buffalo jersey. I don't know why, the Hobby Tons, come on, man. You're from New England. Why are you rooting for Montreal? Oh, motherfucker. Yeah, like I said, I love hockey. normally watch this cup, even if I don't have a guy in it. And but this year, there's no joy for me in like Steven Stamkos raising the motherfucker over his head. I don't care. Or Victor Hedman, or Kucherov. You know, no matter who the, I just want the Bolts to win because I just hate the hobby tots that much. This is the bottom line. I hate the fucking Farmers that much. But I'm not going to take any joy in, like, any of these Bolts, like, raising it over their head. I'm just not. So, back to what this whole episode's about, though. We've come full circle now. Pulled the 360. Let's get on these forwards. And we'll start with Montreal's group. Now, like I said, one more time, I'm just going to say this again. These are the stats that were taken like before the playoffs began. So, you know, four of these forwards kind of stood out to me, but two really, because the other two forwards, they didn't really even stick out to me as far as assists. They only had three assists, but you basically have Montreal has four forwards that had five goals. So that's not really all that great, to be honest. And Toffoli's their best forward, at least in the playoffs he's been. And he had five goals, nine assists, 14 points. And then you have Suzuki right under him, just one less assist. So he's at eight assists, 13 points. Yeah, they both have five goals. And like I said, that's their point totals. Now the guys below him both are five and threes. So that's for eight. So I kind of just look at that's like anemic scoring. Because you have four players with a max of five goals. You put that up against Tampa Bay, and I will in a second. That's anemic. That's sad numbers. So, you know, Toffoli, like I said, Toffoli and Suzuki are, like, easily, the centerpieces of their offense, their best offensive guys, best forwards. But they need to do more. Because five is not going to fucking cut it against this team. It's just not. And, you know, let's go over the Tampa Bay side real quick now. You got Braden Point. He's 12 fucking goals. But this is where, you know, I'm going to compare four of their guys to. 12 goals, 9 assists. That's 23 points. Then you got Stamkos, arguably one of the best forwards in the league. 8 goals, 10 assists, 18 points. Alex Killorn, impressive during the playoffs with 8 goals. 9 assists, 17 points. So he's doing, you know, a little bit better than he normally would. And then you have Kucherov, normally maybe their best player besides Stamkos. But, you know, 7 goals. But here's where it's silly. 23 assists. He's got 30 points. He leads all forwards, well, you know, with points with 30. That's just an absurd amount of assists. Like, he's responsible for 30 of the goals, essentially. On his team, that's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous amount of assists. So, you know, just and then, like I said, Kucherov's the least goal scorer though. I mean, he has the most points, scored the least goals. He's still 2 goals better than anybody on the the Habs. So, you know, he's better than their four forwards. But he, you know, most in points, but least in goals. So. That just shows you that's gaudy numbers right there. That's gaudy. All you need is Brayton Point, really, and Nikita Kucherov. Kucherov, rather. Sorry. But, yeah, they're crazy good at scoring, though. Particularly Brayton Point. He's in double figures as far as goals. And you got to figure, like I said, I haven't watched any of these games, but you got to figure his total's gone a little bit higher. Has to have. Because if you're that prolific, you're not just going to stop when you get to the Habs. No way. And you know, they're really good at sharing it. It's proof's in the pudding with Kucherov's 23. Hell, their lowest assist guys, which are Braden Point and Killorn, they both have 9. So they're just as good as Toffoli at finding assists. So you got to figure, what does Kucherov have at this point? He probably has a million assists because the guy already came into the series with 23. So, I don't think I need to tell you who the forward edge is, but it's the Tampa Bay Bolts. Because just look at the scoring numbers and the assist numbers. Their point totals are way higher. I'm looking at, like, the Montreal stats, right? It's fucking anemic. It is. No other way to describe it. So the forward edge definitely goes to Tampa Bay. Okay, moving on to D now, the defenseman. You got Erik Gustafsson, Shea Weber, Jeff Petrie. I kind of did this. I looked at assists because, you know, defensemen score here and there, and it's usually on a power play from a weird slap shot from the blue line because a guy can get it to hum like in the high 90s, low 100s, some of these strong defensemen, and then it bounces off a skate or two, and it slips by the goalie. Big deal. They're not doing the fancy goals where they're fucking spinning the stick around and shooting fucking wristers and all that other sort of stuff. They're not getting in the goalie's face and scoring these. So defensemen score occasionally, but I didn't want to include that stat because, like I said, it's so sparse. And you'd probably do a fucking emperor at a opera yawn where, you know, when that shit bores you, you just, oh, one goal, let me put my hand to my face, yes. So I didn't want to include that stat. So I went assists plus minus, which I think that's a big deal, like how effective a guy is on the ice, and then penalty minutes because, you know, some of these guys take the brunt of the minutes that I've noticed, and I'm like, well, you can't be having your top defenseman in the box this long. So first thing is, all right, Gustafsson, 2 assists, Weber, 4 assists, Petrie, 5 assists. Puck is moved, it's being moved out well. That's not great either, but I'm not going to throw out the word anemic like I kind of noticed with, how well Montreal's playing. So, Gustafsson is actually, he's clearly the most solid on shifts. I mean, he doesn't have the assist numbers of Weber and Petrie, but his plus minus is plus 5. So, you know, he has a really nice plus minus out of, like, their top defensemen. But he's also played, like, the least amount of minutes on D. So it's like, okay, is his plus minus number so high because he spent the least time on ice? Yeah. So maybe on the surface that looks great. But, you know, maybe I take a nice pick and I scrape away a little bit, and then I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, that's why. So, I don't know how to feel about him. But one thing that's clearly, you know, that really jumps out to me on this is Weber. And Weber's arguably your best defenseman. 24 minutes PIM. That's unforgivable. You can't be spending, if you're the best guy in your team, you can't be spending that much time off the ice. You got to fucking get your roughing under control. You got to get your fights under control. Any of this little bullshit that you can control, you got to get it under control. Because sometimes you're going to make an accident and, you know, because you're just playing and, oh, I hooked the guy and I didn't mean to. It's whatever. But, you know, these things like roughing or fighting or whatever, those are the ones you can get under control. And that's the things you do need to control. Because, like I said, all those other ones are just the heat of the game or whatever, and it happens. And sometimes you don't really do something. The referee sees it another way, and he sends you to the box anyways. That occasionally happens because, you know, these refs aren't robots yet. But the penalties that you can't control, you got to control. And this guy, 24 minutes in the box, unforgivable. And I haven't been watching the Cup. This is probably the last time I'm going to say that because I'm sick of fucking saying that. I haven't been watching the Cup. Haven't been watching the deciding games of the Cup. Don't know what's going on. I just see these little snippets on ESPN here and there. So I know that Tampa Bay has a lead in the series. That's about it. With that said, yeah, I haven't been watching, but Weber's got to keep that shit in check. Now we'll move on to Tampa Bay, the Bolts defenseman. You got Ryan McDonagh. You got Eric Cernak. You got Victor Hedman. To the hockey fans, I don't need to mention this. I'm just picking out the best guys, clearly. I guess to the non-hockey fans, if you expected me to go through every fucking pairing and every line, like I'm going to do like the fourth forwards and the third defenseman, you're out of your fucking mind. Now, granted, these guys could be in those pairings because you only have 2 defensemen, so one of them has to be on a different line. But like I said, I'm looking at the best stats coming into the series and, you know, picking those guys. I'm looking at the guys who I think, you know, will make an impact or whatnot, or are playing the best. So you got Ryan McDonagh, though. You got Eric Cernak. You got Victor Hedman. This is a crazy thing I'm going to mention first off. They have no defensemen with a minus plus minus. They have none. Zip, zero. Hedman makes my list because the insane amount of assists he has. He has 15 assists. We're on this assist first, I guess. McDonagh, 5. Cernak, 8. And then Hedman, 15. That's a crazy amount of assists. And I rank these guys by their plus-minus because I feel like that's the most effective stat. So McDonagh is 12. Cernak's at 9. Victor Hedman, 0. But that does it, that. Like I said, they don't have a defenseman that's lower than 0. That's very good efficiency right there. So I thought I should bring that up. So with that said, though, the puck is being moved exceptionally well, and you know, especially by Hedman, 5, 8, 15, and then you got all those other defensemen, you know, getting assists or whatever. That's crazy good numbers. But here's the problem, and it was the same problem with Montreal. Is, well, Weber specifically, because Petry only had 2 minutes in the box. But McDonagh's 10, Cernak, PIM of 12, Hedman 8. Like, the penalty minutes, those are piling up, and that could be a problem. Because Montreal's pretty decent on the power play. They had 9 power play goals in 18 playoff games played. So that's almost like one every other game. That's not crazy great. But I don't know. Just look at 50%, basically. And so, you know, why would you want to sacrifice? If you have a team playing that okay-ish in penalty minutes, you don't want them on the power play. It's as simple as that. If they had a shit stat, like, I don't know, 4 in 18, then it's like, you know, maybe penalty minutes won't bite you in the ass too hard. But 50%, you might want to stay out of the box a little bit, guy. I don't know. So I still give the edge, though, to Tampa Bay. They're, you know, like I said, their scoring was gaudy, gaudy numbers. Like, they're Kucherov with 7, but then again, he's responsible for 23. And then it's the same thing on this end, though. None of these guys are playing at a minus on the plus minus. So, you know, and then, like I said, they're moving the puck way better. Because Petry was your best defenseman with 5 assists. McDonagh is, like, on the low end of that. While Hedman has 15. Like, they're just really good at, you know, at moving the puck and finding guys that can score. So, yeah, again, I give my defensive edge to Tampa Bay. All the way. Okay, now the last piece of the pie, if we're not talking coaches, because, I don't mean to shit on coaches, but neither one of these coaches blows my balls away. It's not like Scotty Bowman is the coach on one of these benches, or, you know, somebody like that that's had a lot of success. It's not him. What is he? Does he have 4 cups, or he's at least been to 4 of them at least? I don't even know. But he's not a coach like that. So, you know, the coaches don't matter. So we're just going to move on to the goaltenders. I did win-loss. The win-losses are roughly the same. I did win-loss, goals against, and save percentage. And, you know, 12-5 for... Well, we'll start with Price because I started Montreal and all this because they're just alphabetically ahead. That was simply the determining factor. He's 12-5. His goals against, it's almost 2 per game, and his saves are like 9-2. It feels like he's had a renaissance year. I guess that's the best way to describe it. Because if you're a guy who follows hockey like me, Carey Price was always one of those guys in the East where it's like it's either him or Lundqvist for like the best goalie in the East. And, you know, you've had your Rask moments here and there, and, you know, some other guys here and there during the Carey Price years. I think, what is it? It's probably like his 10th year or more Maybe a little more, maybe like 12 or something. But regardless, it feels like a renaissance year because there's, like I said, he had a lot of great years, flawless. And then I think he's kind of played hurt the past couple years, and he wasn't as great as he was, and he had shitty Montreal teams. And you got to, this is something you got to realize about any goalie. A guy like maybe, Ken Dryden or Patrick Waugh. Chris, is there anybody I'm leaving off that list? You know, shout out your boy when you listen to the episode. Let me know if there's a goalie I'm leaving off those. But, you know, the greats like Ken Dryden and Patty Roy. If you have a great defense in front of you, that's kind of important too. Because if you're this great goalie, for example, but you have three shit pairings in front of you, you're gonna get chased out of every game. It's as simple as that. You have to have good defensemen in front of you. Because even if you're a great goalie, you can only do so much. If, you know, your team's just not stopping these guys from shooting 40 times on you, what are you going to do? You're going to give up 5 goals, and it's, you know, it's no fault of that goalie sometimes. It's if he has a shit pairing in front of him, and that's any given night, not just on a season. If he has these guys that just play like shit in front of him, how do you expect him to only give up, you know, 3 goals and keep you in it? I think once a goalie gives up more than 3 goals, they deserve to lose pretty much. So, you know, if you have shit defensive pairings, it, you know, that can also, you know, stop a goalie or whatever. Price had that a lot of times in his career, too, where he didn't have, you know, great pairings 1 through 3, and he still played well. But I feel like he hasn't had good teams, and he's just kind of not been himself the past couple years. So that's, you know, led to, you know, bad successes for Montreal, because let's face it, you look at this roster, and since like Max Pacioretty's left, it almost feels like they rely solely on this guy to play well. If he does not play well, they lose. It's not like any other team in the league where they come out and they're like, okay, our guy's sucking tonight, we're gonna fucking steamroll this team, score a bunch of goals, and leave, like, escape with a win. It's like, if this guy plays like shit, they fucking fall over like a house of cards. Like, seriously. And I feel like that's been since, like, Pacioretty left, because those are some good Montreal teams. It seems like since he went to Las Vegas, they haven't done squat. So with that said, though, Carey Price has very, even more than respectable numbers. And like I said, I describe it as a renaissance year, because I feel like he's the Carey Price that was good, and, you know, you had faith in him, and, you know, it's just like I haven't seen that in a couple of years, so I describe it as a renaissance year. It's that simple. Yeah, great GA, great saves. He has good numbers there, and like that's a respectable win-loss. And it's not like they're getting his backup in there. Like, they need to have his back. Like, he's in there, and he's in there every night, and you can rely on him. It's that simple. But like I said, that's the one Achilles heel to this team, though, that they live and die by this guy. So if Carey Price plays bad in these games, they're gonna lose the series. It's that simple. It's that simple. Carey Price has to have remarkable, even more remarkable numbers than he already came to the series with. Like, he needs to, you know, he needs to have less than a 2 GA. He needs to have a higher save percentage. Like, because this team will score on you, and they will fucking step on your throat after. So, if he gives up, like I had mentioned before, I think, you know, if you give up more than 3, you're bound to lose. He can't give up, like, even 3. Like, he has to be at a solid 2. And he might not even win games like that. He might only give up 2, and you know, and his team, because they suck at scoring, might only go 1. And then he loses a game 2-1. So Carey Price has to be out of his mind during the series if they want any chance at beating this team. Now, I'll compare the other goalie real quick, too. And like I said, the numbers are kind of similar, but a little bit better, except for the win-loss. Vasilevsky, he came into the game with, the series with a 12-6 win-loss record. But he's at like a 1.9 goals against, and his save percentage is higher too, just a little bit, like a tenth of a save percentage. But you know, you if you have better numbers than Carey Price, I want to give it to you. He's always been a solid netminder, this guy. Always has great numbers. He's maybe not always even in contention for the best. He maybe should be. But like I said, it's always been like Price or Lundqvist, except for the past couple years, because I think Lundqvist went to Washington, but I don't even think he's there anymore. I think he's just too hurt. I think he might have retired. And then Luongo came back to the East, but he was already old when that happened. But he was one of those guys who was always mentioned like the best. Ryan Miller, he's kind of up in age. I think he retired too. So it's really like you know, Price, Vasilevsky, and, you know, Rask is always in Vezina mentions too. Sucked what happened this year with him. Like, he played with, like, a torn labrum or something. They totally should have put in Swayman. I don't know why they did what they did. I give him all the credit in the world for going out there and playing with torn shit. But maybe he should have said, well, you know, I'm seriously fucking injured. And no one would blame me if I, you know, stepped back for the young guy because of this serious injury. I don't even know if Rask wants to play anymore. I think this might have been his final year. We'll see. But enough about, you know, them. We're talking about, you know, these two teams. So Vasilevsky, though, I keep on fucking up the pronunciation just a smidge. But always a solid netminder, like I said. Great, great GA and saves, just like Price, but even a tiny bit better on both ends. But he has, you know, he kind of has an advantage that Price doesn't have. I am going to come out and say this. He can actually afford to be sloppy because he's got so many good guys in front of him as far as, you know, defense and offense that he can fuck up a little and be like, oh, okay, you know, these guys still got me. I gave up 3-4 goals. They're just going to score more than I gave up. That's all there is to it. He must go into every game fucking thinking that. Because he looks at the stat sheet of the guys in front of him and says, yeah, I can win these games because of these guys. So that actually will be the thorn for him as far as me determining the goalie edge, though I actually give it to Carey Price. Because of, you know, just Price's clutch factor. Price looks at his stat sheet and says, well, these guys fucking suck. He would never do that, by the way. But I imagine that he would have to look at the thing and be like, these guys aren't scoring much. They're not getting a lot of assists. I better be the man in the net tonight or we're going to lose. Of course, like I said, he would never fucking do that. But yeah, I don't know. you'd got to think that any hockey player would look at his roster, any goalie rather, and would be like, oh, these guys are so great. I don't need to be the man in net tonight. They'll take care of me. I'm going to do my best, but these guys will definitely get it done on the other end. I wish Carey Price would just come out and say and be like, this team fucking sucks and they live and die by me. But he would never admit to that. But like I said, I give the edge to Montreal only because of that. Because Carey Price, like I said, this team lives and dies by Carey Price's play. And, you know, I don't really know how else to spin it. There's no other nice way to say that. So Carey Price has to be the man, and when he does, then, you know, they have the edge at least. Because I would have to feel like Vasilevsky looks at his team and says, these guys are going to take care of me. So even if he has a shit game, he doesn't think he's going to automatically lose. I think Carey Price might. That's why Carey Price might work a little bit harder in the net, but he would never fucking admit to that. That all goalies of all these teams would all have the same philosophy. Like, I'll just play hard and these guys will take care of it. No big deal. But come on now. Look at the roster. Look at the stats I threw out there and then, you know, still say that. I just proved entering the series, you had 20 goals during the playoffs and you were 18 games. And then you had a few other guys here and there with a goal, but give me a fucking break. Your team cannot score as well as Tampa Bay. It's that simple. You can't refute it. I use the numbers. I use the numbers to prove my point. All right. With that said, Now, the moment you've been waiting for since the beginning of the episode, because I said I was going to talk about it. Your Conn Smythe winner is Nikita Kucherov. And I know that's not what you're really looking for. That is my prediction, though. And he has good numbers. Like I mentioned, he's got the 23 assists, 7 goals. He's a point man. It's that simple. As good as Braden Point's numbers are, and you know, there's a lot of other guys with pretty good looking stats. I mean, Hedman alone has 15 points just on assists. I don't know what his goal total is, but that being said, I think it's gonna be Kucherov. It's just a gut feeling, though. I mean, you could give it to the goalie. You could give it to a couple defensemen, a couple of their forwards. I'm sure they would love to have Stamkos win it because, you know, he's the fucking dreamboat of that hockey league. But it's just a gut feeling that Kucherov's going to get the Conn Smythe. I think that's the only trophy I can get away with mentioning without it being like a because Conn Smythe was a real person. He was like the owner of the Toronto Tree Team. So yeah, Conn Smythe was like a real guy. And I know Lord Stanley was a real person. I can get away with saying that. Lord Stanley was a real person, but I think there's a trademark associated with that. So I can't mention the conveyance of liquids also with Lord Stanley in the same sentence. Isn't that wild? Like I'm tiptoeing. I'm like Tiny Tim through the tulip field. I'm fucking tiptoeing this one. But yeah, so I can't mention them in like the same sentence. But like I said, I don't think they trademarked Conn Smythe, so I'm gonna take my chances with this one. Conn Smythe, to the casual hockey fan or the guy that's just learned, he's tuning into my podcast to learn about hockey. And I'm very flattered if that is in case what you are doing, but I would think they would go somewhere else, like a Wikipedia article, if they really want to learn about hockey. But anyways, if you are learning about hockey via this podcast episode, very much in love with that idea. But yeah, Conn Smythe, that goes to the best player during the Professional Hockey Cup Championship. So I picked Kucherov. I just have a gut feeling on that. Regardless, it's going to go to Tampa Bay, and that's because I don't think a Conn Smythe trophy has ever gone to the losing team. I picked Tampa Bay in 6 games. And I'm inching closer to that prediction. And I'm just going to say it one more time. I swear on my life that I picked this before the series began. I said Tampa Bay is going to win it in 6. So this might be like that prediction I had where I was like, I mean, that big game prediction I had where I was like, you know, if the line doesn't play well, Tampa Bay is going to win this one. And lo and behold, Patrick Mahomes' line sucked. I picked Tampa Bay. I was right. I think I'm going to be right this time. When I do the basketball one, I think I'm going to be right about that. I like being right so much because that just gives me credibility. If I'm wrong, you're still going to love me. So I'm like Parker Lewis. Can't fucking lose. Just not going to happen. So with that said, I will reiterate it one more time. Tampa Bay in 6, and that will make me slightly happy. I'll lift my lip just a little bit because I like being right at the end of the day, and I think I'm going to be right about this one. And I like when Montreal fails. I like when they fall on their fucking face and lose, and fuck them. And it's not that I hate Canada or hate Montreal or anything. I just hate that team, though. I don't hate the Expos. How can I? They haven't been in Montreal for like 25 years now. So, like I said, don't hate them. I love Habitat 67. I talked about in that episode with Leroy. So I love the architecture there. St. Lawrence River, the area around that, it's a cool place. I'd love to visit sometime. I'd love for them to have me. But if you think I'm going to wear a jersey with a big C and an H in the middle, not going to fucking happen. Never going to happen. Don't like the team. I hate the Habs. It's just, that's the way it is. I root for 2 American teams. They used to be in different divisions, and then that league decided to fuck me a little bit, but I still root for both of them because they forced me into that corner. So I like that. That I can't say that. I like that wing wheel team from Detroit, and I like that bear team from Boston. Those are the two teams I root for, and they're not in this year. So, like I said earlier, I don't fucking care about these playoffs. But I'm going to do an episode like this every year. So, A, you can bet on it, and then when you win, you can thank me and maybe shower me with money and gifts. And when you lose, you don't blame me. You blame it on yourself because you're a fucking gambler. And then, you know, the B reason is I love hockey normally. I love this even when my teams aren't in it. So that's why I'm going to do this every fucking year. So I don't have a quote this week. Normally I do. I don't know why I didn't come up with a quote. I'm going to look through everything that like Gordie Howe said or Wayne Gretzky or what's another great goalie? It's not that guy. Who is it? Ed Belfour. Yeah, there we go. Who's another one? Rogier. No. Oh, Chris is going to be so mad. This is going to be so funny, though. I know he's going to be so steamed. Because I'm not going to mention his boy whatsoever. And hint, I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to mention him, but hint, he actually is a great goalie. But I'd take Ken Dryden over him. Or Patrick Roy, or Jacques Laplante, or any of the Canadiens goalies. And I hate the Habs, so there you go. So, yeah. back to what I was saying, though. I don't have a quote. Maybe I'll throw it on the episode next week. I'll have a hockey and a basketball quote. I'll probably be able to, you know, there's a lot more basketball quotes, I feel like. I feel like the hockey guys are kind of soft-spoken. But, you know, I feel like a guy like Michael Jordan or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Tim Duncan or somebody just has, like, a crazy, thoughtful, good quote about basketball and life or something. So, but like I said, I'll dig through guys like Howe or Brett Hull or who's another great, Jaromir Jagr. I'll find somebody who left a quote. Maybe Stevie Y. Stevie Y, please have a quote so I can throw yours up. Maybe Cam Neely. I'll just put one of his Seabass quotes up there. But, yeah, I'll dig for a hockey one. I don't know why I really didn't do it this week. And I'll dig for basketball. And we'll have two quotes next week. How's that? You guys love me again? You want to give me big fucking wet kisses? Because I'm going to have two quotes. Oh, I fucking love you too. So that's what we'll do. that's what we'll do next week, though. We'll have dual quotes. And, I prepped the shit out of my notes for this episode. I didn't really do the little side notes. Like, I always have a small page of, like, okay, you know, it's this number, sports guy, and it's, you know, do your social media, put the mid-roll ad here. I didn't prep one of those this week, and I kind of feel like I'm fucking lost in the sauce without it. I'm like Sergeant V said, I'm, what was it, LLMF, lost like a motherfucker. So, shout out Sergeant V. And, I don't know, just shout out to all my favorite players over the years. We'll do that. Like, Sergei Fedorov. Probably maybe my favoriteest player ever. So, I don't know. Shout out to him. Shout out to Big Z. Might be his last year. I don't know. Shout out to Patrice Bergeron. Shout out to Stevie Y. Shout out to Nick Lindstrom. Shout out to, you know who's my favorite player lately is Marchand. Brad Marchand. So, definitely shout out to the little ball of hate. You know, just shout out to all the greats, too, all the guys through the years that, you know, made me want to watch hockey. Like, whether you're on my team or not, I know I loved a lot of you. Like, Mario Lemieux, that's probably, like, maybe my third favorite player of all time. But, yeah, just shout out to, you know, shout out to all those Detroit guys, like I said, Fedorov, you know, Stevie Y, all them. Shout out to all the Boston guys, like Bork, Cam Neely, Bobby Orr, Esposito. I can go on and on. Like, you know, shout out to all of them. Eddie Shore, got to bring him up. Yeah, just shout out to anybody that made me want to watch hockey. I love most of you guys. A few of you I hate. But, you know, you still made me watch even if you're on the enemy team. So, you know, you need a good enemy. So shout out to you for being a good enemy. Shout out to, like I said, shout out to all those guys. Y'all made me watch hockey for whatever reason, so shout out to you all. And always, 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 always donate to, shout out to Doc Emmerich. Shout out to Jack Edwards, Brink, all those guys on, you know, even though the, you know, that network made my bitch list, still great announcers, great announcing team. As always, donate to an ALS charity, ALSA.org, ALS.org. That's the ALS Association. Please donate. Let's crush that shit. I can't stress this enough. This is really one disease I really want to see just wiped off the face of the earth. So let's get the cure for this, please. And good night, Malcolm Butler, wherever you are.